Look, I know Sports Talk Radio is often accused of hyperbole, and I get why. It's largely for a good reason, that is said. But today, I don't care. We're saying it. That was the best win of the season. The team's offense on life support. Your ace doesn't have it. The stars getting raked over the coals, including hand up by me at times in the last little bit. But this place was dead. We're here at the Rogers Center. This place was dead after Carlos Santana made it 7-1 Twins. And they turned that 7-1 deficit into a 10-8 win over the Twins. Jays even the series at one game apiece. Phenomenal stuff from your Toronto Blue Jays today. Show Ali with you, of course. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and the Sportsnet app. Give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line is always open. Maybe you're leaving the stadium. Maybe you want to get your thoughts in on what the atmosphere was like here. Maybe you want to share your thoughts on any of the team's stars. David Schneider batting leadoff and looked good. George Springer still played today. He earned a walk and a pinch hit appearance and then went and played right field while still sick. You want to talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette getting off the schneid, you hope? Let's talk about it all here on Jays Talk. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell, 590-590, name and location. And like I said, you can kind of talk about the individual performances today of a lot of people, including basically every member of the bullpen. And you know what? I'll even include Zach Pop. I know Zach Pop came out there and he gives up the home run to Ryan Jeffers to make it, 8-3, I think, at that point. And then he looked, I thought he settled down a little bit. But, I think a lot of people kind of thought, oh, boy, they got some runs back, and then you give up a home run. You know what? I'm going to include Zach Pop in there. Even if he's not in the circle of trust, he's included in that conversation. So every member of the bullpen we saw today acquitted themselves very well. Like I said, Bo, Schneider. But you know what? For me, and I don't think you guys are going to be surprised by this, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is often where conversations begin and end about this team, for better or for worse, and he was awesome today. Like, you're not going to hear a word of, and nor should you, hear any Vladdy slander today. Not a word of it from me. And you know what? Before today, I was thinking, yeah, you know what? He's turning it around. You know, he's hitting the ball hard. He has the hit streak going. He's looking better. I said on the pregame show, and I've tweeted this out before, but, like, you know, you look at Vladdy, and, post-2021, we've seen a lot of hot stretches followed up by not so great endings to the season, right? Or cold years ended the season by Vladdy for hot stretches. Like, you've kind of seen one or the other, not so much both. But boy, if this is something he can build on, the Blue Jays are going to be in business. I mean, what a game for him today! 4-for-5, 3 runs, lots of great contact. He even was the guy who knocked Simeon Woods Richardson out of the game. And like I said, he has to keep it up before we can really declare, like, he's back. Vladdy's back. We have to see more from him. This is true. But we got today to see a home run from Bo alongside all of this production from Vlad. And how many times have we had the conversation about how this team will go? Despite timely hitting from the rest of the team, and they got a lot of that today, and they have been getting a lot of that most of the year. But how the team will run on the production of Vlad and Bo, and they got that today. Barker has mentioned, and I'm actually unsure if Barker has actually said this to, like, me personally, or if he said this on the air. I see him so often. But either way, he's mentioned before, generally. I'm certain he said this on the air at some point. Blair and Barker, Jay's Talk, whatever. He has mentioned a lot that Vladdy has closed his stance a little bit. Around Star Wars Day, you know, May the 4th? Around thereabouts-ish. It's May 11th today. And if that's the thing that's helped him improve, I'm crossing my fingers and I hope that he stays with it, because we've also made a lot about Vladdy's stance and his swing and how it's changed so radically from the 2021 season, people texting and calling about how he's laid on pitches and so on. So if he's found something that works, please let him keep it, because something's working right now for him. He looks absolutely awesome. Let's go to the text line, 590-590, name and location. That's the people's text line. I'll go to the phones very shortly, but I wanted to read a couple of texts here. Jeremy in the Beaches. I think what Jeremy says here, I think, is something a lot of fans will agree with. That was the best game of the season, but I really hope it's not the last one. The last best game of the season, of course, right? I think there was a stat I saw on Twitter from our pal, Blake Murphy, and Blake posted this, maybe half an hour ago. Jays got 20 men on base for the first time this year. They did it 13 times last season. And the first time it came was on May 11th, a little over a month into 2024's season. They were one of only seven teams who had yet to do that before today. I don't know who the other six teams are, but the Blue Jays shared a lot in common offensively with some of the worst teams in baseball. So to see them break that and no longer share that can only be viewed as a good thing. That is absolutely great. Rosalie in Avenue Road, she texted in to say, nice to see the hitters bail out their pitchers. It's very true. I feel like over the course of Gausman's Blue Jays career, and he didn't really have it today, it's unfortunate, made a couple mistakes. I thought the command was okay here and there, but you know, by and large, the four-seam fastball seemed to be where he I was going to say live or died, was not so much the former, more so the latter of living and dying. But a lot of hits off the four-seamer, a lot of strikeouts off the four-seamer, so I guess you can say live or die, but he just didn't really seem to entirely have it today. Only ended up going, three innings? So not so great from Gausman, but it's true. In his whole Blue Jays career, he just has not often gotten the run support. So nice to see the Blue Jays offense take him off the hook, because I'll tell you, I'm sure most people, after they went down 7-1, probably turned the radio off or turned the TV off. And honestly, based on what we've seen for most of the year, for basically the entire year, I don't really blame anyone for doing that. But it was an electric win. Mike in Port Hope, he texts in to say, couldn't say it better myself. This is what this team is capable of. They're slowly coming back around. Keep the faith, Jays fans. Terrific comeback. I see one here from Rod out west. Rod's in Vancouver. And Rod says, can you imagine if the Jays baseballed like this most of the time they baseball? That would be nice. He also says, Schneider's ascent has been so much fun to watch. I'd love to see him get more time leading off to get some more data. Didn't work yesterday, but wow, today was unreal. I think that's totally fair, right? I mean, you know, you talk about the leadoff spot, and I mentioned we saw Springer today, but it was kind of a straight swap towards the end of the game, right? He works the walk, and then after the inning is over, they put him in right, they put Kiermaier in center, and they put Varsho in left, and they take David Schneider out of the game, which I don't really think it's a slight on David Schneider defensively. And we did see him have a little bit of a snafu early in this game, but he's been great, I think, in very, to Rod's point, very small sample sizes, right? And I think that's why a lot of the kerfuffle with Springer is valid, right? Like, you don't want to see him, like, if he's going to not play well, you don't necessarily want to see him be exposed to more ABs when you could, in theory, get better ABs, which I think we have seen, by and large, in David Schneider's career, albeit a short career. We only really saw him less than a year ago. If you really think about it, he started his career in August 2023 in Boston at Fenway. So I think you want to see more, right? But you specifically, to Rod's point, want to see him more in the leadoff spot. And I think he's got to stay up there for now. And I know the main reason he's there is because Springer's not 100%. So I wouldn't be all that surprised. I know you guys would not be either, to see Springer just jump right back in there once he's healthy. But I don't know. There's probably a sunk cost fallacy going on there when it comes to Springer too, right? Like, he's largely only been a leadoff hitter for the vast majority of his career. Outside of a few one-offs here or there, he's being paid an absolute ton of money. And I can hear you guys. Like, it shouldn't matter. And I agree with you. But as long as he is unable to go, David Schneider has got to be the guy up there. And I think the other half of it is we saw the power today. He plugged his fourth home run of the season, and you'll take it because he has that power. And I mean, maybe part of it just might be because he's younger. But the other half of that conversation, of course, is like, who else are you putting up there? If it's not Springer, right? If it's not Springer and you're saying, okay, we want to see someone other than David Schneider, like, who is it really going to be? IKF, like Biggio, Clement? I suppose you could lead, like, bat Vladdy lead off. I feel like the ideal scenario would be if Bo was hitting very well. In theory, you could bat Bo lead off and bat Vladdy second, for example, but that's not the case right now. But again, you hope things are getting a little better for Dalton Varsho. Hey, keep the text coming, 590-590, name and location. That's the People's Text Line, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. Chris from Maine joining us here on Jay's Talk. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. What's up? What's up?
Because today was a fantastic game. I'm really happy for the guys. I hope that this level of play can be contagious because I think that will do wonders for them. Sure. I'm also really happy for myself and for the rest of the fans because today was the most entertaining game so far of the whole season. And, you know, Toronto has a fantastic fan base. And we needed this really badly. I think,
they
you know,
did.
I mean, this
yeah.
is, yeah. we had, yeah, we needed something to be, to cheer for and to give us some hope. The reason I'm calling is, you know, I mean, it's kind of a weird place to call on a day where they won so well. But I've been reading and seeing a lot of flack for the coaching staff of the Jays, primarily the hitting coaches, including Don Mattingly. And I think this is out of place. I pray to the throne of Kevin Barker, and I, you know, take a lot of his words to heart. And, you know, one of the things he's always said was, even throughout his career when he had Rod Carew as hitting coach, Rod Carew couldn't save him. You know, Rod Carew can't even teach anybody to be Rod Carew. These guys are major leaguers. They have, when they come to the show, they got to be, for the most part, ready to go. You know what I mean? Coaches can help tweak these guys. But Don Mattingly cannot take Varsho and teach him how to be Don Mattingly. All he can do is try to make a better Varsho. These guys have to do it themselves. Winning obviously will help them become better players because that is just you can't attest for that kind of a feeling and what that does for your playing ability. But when it comes to, you know, changing your stance a little bit or how you're at,
we lost
cannot
Chris.
Be saved.
Oh, there we go. Oh, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Did you lose me? Yeah. Anyway, so I'll sum it up. Coaches can't save the player. The player has to save the player. And I think that they get a bad rap, the coaching staff. I know Don Mattingly gets a lot of flack. He was a great player. He might not be the best coach. Sometimes that happens. As they say, those who can, those who can't teach. But if I had a hunch to what is a problem with this organization, I think there's too much white noise in the clubhouse. I think there's too many things buzzing around in there. I think you got too many coaches, maybe way too many khakis, too many people running around with iPads. I think the players, when they're in a slump, don't get a chance to just try to figure things out themselves. I think there's somebody always buzzing in their ear saying, try this, try that. Eventually, a player has to hone down on something and work through it themselves, or they'll never solve the problem.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for joining me here on Jay's Talk. Appreciate you sticking with me here. Okay, so a lot there. I think, okay, so on the hitting coaches aspect, I feel criticism is valid when you keep doing the same thing over and over again and there are no results, right? I think, like, the vitriol of, like, they need to, I'll drive them to the airport myself, like, sometimes can be a little uncalled for. So I do think that's fair from Chris. But at the same time, I also think if you're going to make a big deal of, and I'm going to use Don Mattingly as an example, okay? If you're going to make a big deal of going out and hiring, like, the great hitting coach Don Mattingly, and I know he was a manager in other places, like in Miami and in Los Angeles and so on, but if you're going to, like, make such a big deal about hiring this guy and then say, oh, we're actually giving him a never-before-heard term, in baseball at the very least, the offensive coordinator, and then for it to not pay any dividends, I personally feel like it's valid to criticize that. Obviously, on a day you win with 10 runs and you get, what, 16 hits, you're gonna not criticize the hitting coach too much. I will say, I think I heard the earlier today, like when I was walking around downstairs in the clubhouse, and you could hear John Schneider speaks. The way it works is he speaks to the writers. It's on the record, but it's not recorded. It's not like you can't watch the meeting. And then he has kind of like an abbreviated version of the pregame with Hazel or Arden or someone on TV, and they ask him a couple more questions like that goes on television. And you often hear what he has to say. It's kind of like a little more intimate, right? You can ask him more questions, and it's easier to hear him in his office and so on. So I was walking by, and Eric was there too, Chris and so on. The guys were all there. And we're hearing him talk about it, and I think I heard him say, you know, there's the bug going around in the clubhouse, and that's why Springer didn't start today. He talked about it, actually, with Blair and Barker, I think, on Friday, yesterday, when he came on their show, and a bug's been going around. So while Springer is out, even he has it a little bit. And I think I heard that Guillermo Martinez was not here today, which I got to say, that made me chuckle, if only because As soon as Eric said that on the air, I thought, boy, people are going to be like, well, see, it was all Guillermo. It's because he wasn't here. He wasn't talking to people. Obviously, that's not how it works. But when it comes to criticism of the hitting coaches, when the offense is this poor for so long, I think you can, you know, maybe point the fingers is too much. But, you know, they probably wear it a little bit at the very least, especially like the guys who are paid to be hitting coaches and then they're not hitting. It is funny, though. I mean, the Jays scored 10 runs today with 16 hits. They have literally gone whole weeks without scoring 10 runs and 16 hits total, like in the span of like 5 to 7 games from like Monday to Sunday, essentially. So I am very pleased that whatever they told them today worked, because the Twins have been one of the hottest teams in baseball in the last, what, month or so. Chris's other point about people buzzing in their ear, I do genuinely wonder if that is a problem. And it's not like it's Ross Atkins specifically, or it's one of Mattingly or Haig or Martinez or Edwin or Victor Martinez if he's around. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that is a problem. But I also kind of wonder with Vladdy is, and this goes back to him changing things so much, sometimes I actually wonder, you know, people say, oh, Vladdy is too stubborn. I actually kind of wonder if it's the opposite. If maybe Vladdy is so amenable and such a jovial guy that he's actually taking too much from other people and not just doing the thing that made him really successful in the first place. Honestly, that's pure speculation, but I genuinely wonder. Maybe they could benefit from less cooks in the kitchen, but I digress. Let's go back to the phones. Eddie, joining us from Fort Erie. Eddie, what's on your mind?
Not much. So, how you doing today?
Good, man. Always good when you can be down here at the Rogers Center for a win instead of a loss.
Oh, yeah, for sure. By the way, you like going down, taking the trip down memory lane from time to time?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, you know what? That's exactly what it was in this game today, because oddly enough, Gausman pitched that game last year when they were losing, and they came back, and they came back. And today he pitched today, he got lit up, and they came back and win the game. I mean, it's amazing how it can happen, you know, again. You know what I mean? It was one of those weird things that I was thinking in my head. And you know what, too? This game had everything, as you said, like Schneider, you know, atoning for that miscue in left field. You know, he gets a home run, and good for him that he did, because if he didn't have a good day at the plate, I mean, it would have gone from bad to worse for him. I know, short sample, but you know what I mean? But you know what I mean from that? And the other is the bullpen. I mean, now you think about it from Kikuchi, that length he went 8 innings and only got one reliever up, that really helped a great deal today.
Sure.
You know, and especially Swanson, too, having, like, I guess you can say a redeeming outing, if you will, in the seventh inning. And Vladdy, of course, you know, as you said, I mean, he's hitting everything right now. And I got to give big props to Varsho, too, for those two at-bats. I mean, yeah, Vladdy lined out, but he had to face two lefties, and he got on base on both of them. So props to Varsho as well. So that's why I look at this game as a great team win. And another one of those games where I'll put in the filing cabinet drawer, and I'll pull it out. And if they make the playoffs, I'll say to myself, that's one of the games right there that could decide their season when you look back as a turning point. That and the game after in Philadelphia when they had that team meeting, and they won.
That's true, Eddie. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for joining me on Jays Talk as always. You know, let's talk about Eddie's first point about the bullpen, because we haven't really talked about the bullpen so far. And certainly, you say Kikuchi's probably sitting in that dugout being like, God, where was any of this yesterday? Where was all of my run support? I felt bad for the guy, honestly. 8 innings from Kikuchi and they lose, and then you get 3 innings from Gosmer and they win? I mean, that's baseball, Susan, right? That's what that is. Anyways, let's talk about the bullpen. Because, like Eddie said, they were pressed into action far earlier than they usually are. And, I mean, I mentioned Zach Pop off the top. I, like, kind of pseudo-include Zach Pop because, again, I know he gave up the home run. But I kind of thought to myself, after Gausman came out so early, how are they going to get innings from a bullpen that has been so shorthanded and beleaguered? I mean, John Schneider had said in that writer's meeting I mentioned, he had said that someone not named Jimmy Garcia or Jordan Romano, and he named those guys, have got to step up. And I don't think he was saying it to throw anyone under the bus, right? But more to just underscore the point, a very valid one, that most guys in the bullpen, outside of those two he named, have just not played all that well. And again, I kind of roll my eyes like Jim Carrey, you know, here we go, right? That's kind of what I thought when I saw Zach Pop give up the home run. But he settled down right away. And then Trevor Richards. Okay, everyone after that, because the home run from Jeffers off of Pop made it 8-3, and then the Twins did not score again. So everyone after that played amazingly well. But Trevor Richards, two perfect innings in the fifth and sixth to ensure that the score got no further. And I think one of the most important things, and it was good that he was able to not expend his pitch count too much, because one of the most important things for Richards is that he might be right this second. I'm just looking at the names on the bullpen right now, right? It's Meza, Cabrera, Pearson, Pop, Richards, Romano, Swanson, Garcia. There is no true long man on this team. And traditionally, when your starter gets blasted and gets yanked early, you go to a long man. And Pop is not a long man. Trevor Richards is like kind of, sort of a long man. We've seen him go two innings, and that's exactly how many innings he played today. I honestly, when Eric Swanson came out in the seventh inning, I was sitting here with Chris LaRue, and I thought to myself, and I looked over to him, I'm like, what do you think? And he looked at me and said, gosh, couldn't, like, he was not super confident. And I'll tell you the truth, I wasn't either, if only because he's had a really rough start to the season, and you needed him to hold things as much as humanly possible. He made me sweat a little, but he, to his credit, much like Richards, did not drive up that pinch count. He got in and out of that inning very quickly, and I sincerely hope it's something you can build on with him, because you need him to get out there. And just like John Schneider said, give the Jays more options in the bullpen. We got to see Jimmy Garcia for the first time since, what, April 28th, right? He never went on the IL with the back tightness issue, and I was admittedly a little worried about how he'd look after such a long layoff. But Jimmy Garcia comes in after Swanson, and he dominates 8-9-1, right? And again, it's at the bottom of the lineup. So, you probably expect it to a certain extent. But again, after the long layoff, I kind of thought to myself, would he be able to dominate to the way he's been doing essentially all year? But he did exactly what Swanson did, and he was able to use a lot of his off-speed stuff. He dialed up the fastball when he really needed to. I kind of wondered if he was being cautious out of he wasn't using it out of an abundance of caution because of the injury, but hey, 96 miles an hour, especially against Edward Julian, that'll play. And good to see Jimmy still able to dispose of the batters when he needed to. And look, I'm generally open to the idea of throwing out Jimmy Garcia for four outs, but after the iffy back, out for a couple weeks, I'm not even sure you want to be that risky, and even in high leverage where you want him. But Jordan Romano, I mean, he'll be a little slider happy, as we know. Threw a slider down 2-0 in the count to Ryan Jeffers. And then, this is the same guy we just talked about, hit a home run off of Pop. So you think to yourself, how many sliders can you get away with throwing to Jeffers? He threw five sliders in a row, and he just couldn't help himself but to keep swinging. Romano was confident. He turned up the velo to 99 miles an hour on Max Kepler, and then threw Kepler another slider, which he hit to get on base, right? So he almost banged that for a home run, actually. It was like maybe feet from being a home run off of the wall out there in right field. But there's a fine line when we discuss Jordan Romano between what his pitch mix is, and certainly what is, let's say, enough sliders and too many sliders. And he probably walked that line like a razor-thin line today. But hey, they got it done. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. We're here until the top of the hour. We'll go back to the phones, back to the text line on the other side of the break. You're listening to Jay's Talk. Show Ali with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I mean, great having Yemi back, obviously. They all did their part, really. I know there was a couple runs scored off, off of them. Homer off of Pop, but Trev was great. In these type of games, too, I think those two innings out of Trevor gets very overlooked. But that kind of kept the game where it was and kept the momentum on our side. Great bounce back outing from Swanee. And then Jimmy and Jordan were really, really good. So in games like this where your starter comes out early, you want to just keep the game where it is. So it was credit to both the bullpen and then the offense doing what they did.
John Schneider pushing the right buttons in the bullpen deployment today. They hold it for the Blue Jays, who again turn a 7-1 deficit into a 10-8 win to even this series against the Twins at one game apiece. The rubber match coming up tomorrow afternoon with Alek Manoah on the mound, his second start of 2024. Welcome back to Jay's Talk. Show Ali with you for a scant few more minutes. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. star 590 on your cell. We'll go back to the text line very shortly, 590, 590, name and location. But let's go to the phones right now. John in Toronto joining us here on JStock. John, get us going here in the second part of the show.
Thanks a lot for taking the call, and I have to give John Schneider for credit, being patient and believing in the players out there. And I've got to give them all credit for being patient. And what I wanted to say was, when you're up there hitting, you got to be not only focused but patient. The first pitch coming from that pitcher, he wants to get you out on the first pitch. So mainly, I think you should be waiting to see what the first pitch is going to be before you start swinging at anything. And hopefully the Blue Jays are off to a more positive venue since having this ball game. You know?
Yeah,
anyway.
John, thanks. Yeah, thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Hey, look, so I'm of two minds on taking pitches, because I've kind of been thinking about this in the last little while. On one hand, I do think that if you see your pitch, quote, I'm using air quotes here, right? Like, quote-unquote, your pitch, when a ball is thrown right down the middle. That's why I don't really fault Bo or Vladdy for taking some hacks, because how many times is a pitcher really going to make a mistake of throwing a pitch right down the middle? But today, for example, I believe it was Caleb Thielbar who really was struggling. That guy throwing balls all over the place. He was spraying balls left, right, center, above the zone, below the zone. And I thought to myself, exactly what John is saying, be patient. Wait for, again, quote-unquote, your pitch. And they did. And I actually thought that was exemplified by a number of people today, basically all of them, honestly. But it was exemplified, I thought, by George Springer in his 1AB, and he works the walk. I thought, George, just don't swing if you don't have to. And he didn't. He really didn't, and I thought that was great to see, because that's kind of what you want to see from – that's what you want to see from any hitter, but it's also what you want to see from a veteran hitter, right? And George Springer, I mean, like, you know, you look at veteran hitters, he should know better. And he hadn't been – he'd been swinging a lot of junk, it feels like. And then when he does swing, he doesn't make great contact. So it was nice to see him kind of just relax a little bit at the plate. Vladdy relaxing a little bit, and he did do what John was saying. He took a couple pitches that maybe he would have wanted back, and then the next pitch he would punish. Right, we even saw him do that in, was it Washington, wherever he hit the grand slam recently. We saw him do that on that very pitch, or right before the grand slam. He took a pitch that was effectively right down the middle, and then he swung at the next bad decision, and it was a grand slam. So you want to see that from the team stars, for sure. I see a couple of texts here about other guys who are patient hitters, and I see, let me just find them here. Hayden in Belgrave says, it's nice to see the bats come alive, stay hot, like Bo, Jano going deep, Schneider staying hot. We just need the pitching to get hot as well. Go, Jays, go. Tony from Kitchener, I turned the TV off after they were down 7-1 in the third, but I'm glad I turned it back on. The Blue Jays are either feast or famine, but today they fought. Vladdy looks good. Schneider looks good. Danny doing Danny things. And Bo looks like he's coming around. If that happens, this team can go on a run. I do want to talk a little bit about Danny Jansen and Bo a little bit. Bo certainly... The solo shot off of Simeon Woods Richardson, a rocket out there in left field. He had two hits yesterday. So I've said this all year, but just quickly on Bo, there's no way a hitter like Bo, there's no way he is going to underperform like that all season long. Like, he came into this ballgame hitting exactly 200 after those two hits yesterday. So before yesterday, he was batting below 200. There was no way Bo Bichette was ever going to hit that poorly for a whole season. So I really hope, again, much like with the conversation about Vladdy, can we declare that he's turned everything around already? No, obviously not. But it was really great to see. He gave himself a little quiet, yes, fist bump, just a low fist bump right near the waist when he rocketed that one. And I also actually noticed, and I'm not sure if they showed this on TV, but I saw it out here in the dugout, and they replayed it on the video board here at the Rogers Center. But Vladdy in the dugout was ecstatic. Like, he was the first guy off the seat of his pants. He actually came out of the dugout. He was the first guy out of the dugout to congratulate Bo. Hands in the air. Like, people are kind of like, oh, you think there's something going on with Bo and Vladdy? No, I truly don't believe that. They really do support each other. And Vladdy looks like he could not have been happier other than Bo Bichette, frankly. On Danny Jansen, I'm not sure what his OPS is now. After the home run, it jumped to about 1027, so 1.027. I think it ended around, like, 1044, because obviously he kept hitting. Now, I know that's in part because he hasn't played as many games as the other, but I mean, damn, right? The guy has elite plate discipline right now. He's seeing the ball extremely well, both when he does and does not swing the bat. It's a good time for him to play well, obviously, because he's a free agent at the end of the year. But still, I mean, you got to give that guy a new deal, right? Like, conversations must be going on to give Jano a new deal. And obviously, the caveat with Jano is if he is healthy. And I'm aware that's a big if, because if that holds true for the rest of the season, he might fulfill his potential of being a legitimate, maybe like five batter, six batter, middle of the order bat beyond the top four. And when it comes to the contract, I find that really fascinating because on one hand, he's a very dangerous hitter. He has the plate discipline we just talked about. But on the other hand, the injury concerns are valid ones. Like, you can't completely wipe that off your consideration of giving him lots of money. I think Fangraphs has his value of what he's doing right now at around $55, $56 million, which, I don't know, like, seems right to me for someone like Jano. But the other aspect of this that's really interesting, when you're going to compare him to other catchers in baseball, there aren't a lot of catchers in all of baseball that are under contract for deals that are 3 years or longer. Just this is from Nick Ashbourne, actually. He wrote this great piece for Sportsnet.ca, so I highly recommend giving it a read. But in baseball, generally, deals that are 3 years or longer, just 10 catchers in baseball have deals that are longer than 3 years, and only 8 of those catchers are making $10 million more a year. So essentially that effectively only comprises the most elite catchers in all of baseball, like the Will Smiths of the world, for example, right? So give that a read, but I do wonder what the value of Jano's contract will end up being, because he is a mystifying one because of the injury concerns, but he looks phenomenal right now. There was a question here about personal catchers. Here it is, from Paul in Burlington. Why does Kirk have to catch Manoah tomorrow, let Jano and his hot bat play, and then Jen in Toronto, Justin Turner has been slumping, move him down, DH Jansen? Put those two together, guys. I think that's what's got to happen tomorrow. I don't know what the lineup looks like tomorrow. Honestly, I don't. But you got to think that in some way, shape, or form, Danny Jansen's got to stay in this lineup. Right? He's got it. Like, if you're going to catch Kirk, DH Jansen, give Justin Turner a day off. The guy's 39 years old, probably could use a day off anyways. So that's got to be where you at least start part of the conversation for tomorrow. Because if Danny Jansen's seeing the ball this well, you want him batting with Bo, with Vladdy, with Clement, with Schneider. IKF continues to play very well. I end up, did not think he played this well, but he's been great. So I hope that's what we see tomorrow. Hey, appreciate you guys being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Guelph and Elmira. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Eric Smith, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, Andrew Adams, I'm Sho Ali. We are out of here. Tomorrow, it's another Alec Manoah start day, his second of the year. I'm back for pre and post solo tomorrow afternoon as the Jays try and win the series in the rubber match. I hope you all have a great Saturday night. We'll talk to you later.